Buckeye Extra is brought to you by the Columbus Springs Hospitals, changing people's lives by providing addiction and mental health treatment for adults, adolescents, and children through two Columbus-based hospitals and an outpatient service clinic. Columbus Springs Hospitals. There's hope. There's help. For full information, visit hopeincolumbus.com.
Sports Desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. Today is Wednesday, May 16th, 2018. It's my official duty to welcome you into the 28th episode of the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast. As promised, we're going to be podcasting from some various locations over the next couple of months. I've done one from my car in my garage in the middle of the night. You've gotten podcasts from hotels in State College, Pennsylvania, and Boise, Idaho. And now you're getting one from my back porch. It's the middle of the week. Our babysitter this week, her husband is having knee replacement surgery. Get well soon, Don. And so I've got my one-year-old at home with me this week, and I've been cramming in some work during the day when he's been taking naps. Right now, the little guy is sleeping, and so I'm here on my back porch trying not to wake him and hoping to get through a podcast. So the noise you hear in the background, you're not listening to Blackbird by the Beatles. Those are the birds in my backyard. It's been raining, so you might hear some raindrops. Maybe that makes it more enjoyable. If you find this to be a more soothing experience, listening to my voice, let me know. Maybe we can find ways to, I can get Patrick back at Command Central to add some of that in. So it maybe takes some of the gratingness out of having to listen to me. So either way, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I guess you're not tuning in. Thanks for clicking. Thanks for listening. We'll stick with that. So before we dive in, I want to remind you if you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. If you search for Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast, that way you won't miss anything. I'm going to be coming to you weekly throughout these summer months and coming, for, like I said, from various locations. So if you want to make sure you don't miss anything, if you're subscribed, it just pops right up on your phone. It's pretty easy to find. Or wherever you access your finest podcasts, you'll find us right there. So please check us out. If you would, leave a comment. Appreciate five-star reviews, anything nice you have to say. My bosses check on that. And if you'd like me to keep bringing you these, potentially maybe even from Spain, let us know, because one of the things that we discussed in this podcast a few weeks ago, and it's been put out there again, is that Ohio State will be traveling to Spain in August for an international trip. That means 10 extra practices for a team that could certainly use them. Dates and times and details of the trip are still to be announced. Not sure who they'll be playing or what exactly they'll be doing, but for a team that has one returning senior and a graduate transfer, they're short on experience this year. They're going to need as much practice as they can get to try start figuring out who's going to handle the ball and, you know, who's going to fill basically three of the five spots in the starting lineup. There's a lot of question marks around this team, and so taking a foreign trip is something that will really benefit this team. And we're hoping that we'll be able to bring you coverage from Spain. I will keep you posted on that. But if you'd really like to, you know, hear us describe, you know, the sangria and the tapas and, you know, whatever record stores you can find in Spain, in addition to, you know, Ohio State basketball coverage, let us know. Feel free to reach out and leave us a comment, leave us some feedback, and hopefully the powers that be will take that into consideration. So before we go any further, I want to say thanks to our sponsor, Columbus Springs Hospitals. With two hospitals and an outpatient services clinic, Columbus Springs Hospitals is helping to change people's lives every day. With skilled counselors and compassionate caregivers, they provide effective patient treatment in addiction and mental health for adults, adolescents, and children. Visit columbusprings.com today and find out more about each of their locations. There's hope, there's help at Columbus Springs Hospitals. And I do want to add on to that. If you need to talk to someone, if you need help, please, it's never too late. Please reach out. Please tell someone that you need help. Please talk to someone. I don't know how else I can say that, but with the state of things lately, I just want to make sure that it gets continually brought up that if you need help, if you need someone to talk to, please do that, please reach out. And Columbus Springs Hospitals is a fantastic resource. Call a friend, call a coworker. If you feel like you need help, don't hesitate to ask for it. I just want to try to reiterate that for, you know, the millionth time, that that's important. And we all need to look out for each other. So please, please keep that in mind. This week we learned that there will be, since the last podcast, rather, we learned that there potentially could be not one, but two teams of former Ohio State players participating in this summer's The Basketball Tournament. And you might remember this from last year. It's the five-on-five single elimination tournament with 72 teams in it, playing for a $2 million cash prize. Last year, we had a team that we covered known as the they were called Scarlet and Gray, coached by Scoonie Penn, and they made it to all the way to the semifinals before they came up just short. This year's team will be exclusively comprised of Ohio State players. The roster was announced on Tuesday. Scoonie Penn, who is currently the director of player development for the team, for the men's basketball team at Ohio State, he will return as the coach, and Evan Turner is also helping coach. Last year, it was seemed to be more of an unofficial capacity, but Evan got involved with the team and really seemed to enjoy that experience. So he is joining Scoonie to help coach this year's team. And then the players on this team, returnees William Buford, Aaron Kraft, John Diebler, Dallas Lauderdale, David Lighty, Evan Ravenel. And then adding to the mix this year is B.J. Mullins, who has some NBA experience. Obviously, we played in the NBA for 3 years. He's played in a couple of different leagues. I believe he was most recently in the NBA's G League, but he will be on the team as well. So this year as well, the basketball tournament will be hosting its the Midwest Regional will take place in Columbus from July 20th through the 22nd at Capital University. We actually had that as an exclusive Dispatch story a couple of months ago. I can't remember exactly when it was, that's a pretty exciting thing. And so we could potentially see, if you live in Central Ohio or in Ohio in general, and you want to watch some of these guys come out and play, I mean, I think it would be a surprise if that team didn't at least make it that far. So all tickets for that are general admission. Friday night, adults are $5. Students, members of the military are free. Youth 13 and under are free. An all-day pass for Saturday or Sunday, $20 for adults, $10 for students, members of the military, and also for kids 13 and under. Weekend pass is $30. A family four-pack of general admission tickets is $40 for four tickets, can be purchased online. Children 3 and under are free. You have readmission is permitted on all tickets. It's going to be a cool way to come out and check out some basketball in the middle of the summer, see some names that you remember, and see them try to chase down a payday. So I know that team has some high expectations, and obviously, like I said, they came so close last year, making it to the semifinals. But what will be interesting is that this year's team has some competition from some former Buckeyes as well, presuming they make the tournament, because it's a sort of a complicated process, but you have to go to thetournament.com and find ways to support teams that you want to see make the tournament. So the Scarlet and Gray team will be in it because they made it to the Final Four last year. But this year, there's a new team, Big X, and they will have to receive enough votes and get enough fan support in order to actually make the tournament. But this is a team that was put together by Andrew Dokich, who he'd been joking with Scoonie all throughout the year that if he needed a locker room guy for this year's TBT team, that, you know, he'd be happy to do that. And then kind of got a little bit more serious about it, and then realized, like, maybe he should just put together his own team. So Andrew Dokich, who of course played at Michigan for 4 years before coming to Ohio State last year as a graduate transfer, has put together a team that features Duncan Robinson from Michigan, Mark Donnell from Michigan, Stu Douglas from Michigan, John Horford from Michigan, Nana Egwu from Illinois, and then former Buckeyes Jayshon Tate and Cam Williams. I find this unbelievably fascinating. The thought that you have a team of former Buckeyes and former Wolverines playing together, I mean, it makes me think of the line from Ghostbusters, you know, cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. Like, that's one of my thoughts when I look at that. And I just think that's unbelievable. And I think it's really cool that, you know, Andrew put that together. I think, you know, there's some opportunities there for for maybe some common ground. Maybe some Ohio State fans and Michigan fans will find ways to embrace a team that they can both get behind, or maybe not. I could see it maybe going the other way, and that was one thing I asked Andrew about. I'm looking right now as I'm stumbling for words here, but I'm looking on my computer. I'm trying to find this interview that I did with Andrew. You'd think I would have everything all lined up when I start the podcast, but unfortunately I didn't. But I did talk to Andrew about the team, and he basically said that, it could go either way. Either they'll get fans from both fan bases to support the team, or they'll get fans from neither of them because they won't be able to stomach the thought of cheering for a Wolverine or for a Buckeye. So I think it's pretty funny. I think it's a neat thing. So I can't seem to find that interview right now. So we'll move on from that. But there would be the potential those two teams could face each other here at some point during the summer. So if you'd like to see, as Andrew put it, you could see Aaron Kraft guarding Andrew Dokich, or watch Jayshon Tate battling in the paint with David Leite. I mean, we've compared those players to each other how many times over the last couple of years? Like, there's some really intriguing potential matchups there. Cam Williams having to go against John Diebler. I mean, there's a lot to be said for what it might be like to see these guys on the court together. So something to keep in mind if you're looking for a basketball fix in the middle of July, which we all certainly will be. So there's that. This past weekend, Ohio State hosted a recruit for an unofficial visit, Zeb Jackson, who is a 2020 point guard from Maumee, Ohio, right in my hometown. Well, not in my hometown, but in my home base. Took an unofficial visit to Ohio State over the weekend, and he received an offer from Ohio State. So it's interesting because that's the class of 2020, and he's listed at 6'2", 160. There's not a lot of 2020 recruiting rankings out there yet. I'm doing a search as I'm stalling here to see if there is anything that has a ranking on him. Like, he's not 24/7 Sports doesn't list him yet. Looks like ohhoops.org lists him as the number 7 overall recruit in Ohio for the class of 2020. That puts him 3 spots ahead of Dom Penn, Scooney's son, who is listed as the number 10 recruit in the country. And they are both point guards. So that presents an interesting situation. I've had a number of people ask me how this impacts the recruitment of Scooney's son. Because obviously Dom Penn at Dublin-Kaufman has he's done some really nice things. And, he's earned that Ohio State scholarship offer. I haven't heard great things about Dom during the spring evaluation period. I'm not sure. I mean, he hasn't added any high-level offers, which you would maybe think that a player of that caliber would be at this point. Now, there's still plenty of time in high school, and there's a lot of different ways where the search for a player who is going into the class of 2020 has plenty of time still for growth and development. And there's going to be a number of schools that are going to be in on Dom. But I don't. Maybe they would take 2 recruits in that class, or 2 point guards in that class. Maybe. I'm not sure who they would pick necessarily, but I do think it's interesting that they've already offered Dom, and he hasn't committed. He hasn't really added any major offers, and now Zeb gets an offer from Ohio State. So I'm not sure. I would think that maybe at this point that would seem to indicate that Zeb might be a little bit more of a priority. I'm sure that they've had a lot of conversations with Scooney and with Dom about just sort of how this is all playing out, because obviously you've got a member of your coaching staff and a program legend, and you certainly, you've offered his son, so that presents some significant upside, but also some, a chance for some potential conflict. And so I'm sure that they're working through all of that, and I'm sure that it's being handled well, but something to keep an eye on. So, that's Zeb Jackson from Maumee Valley Country Day School. Not from Maumee Valley, or not from Maumee, excuse me. I already made that mistake once. He plays for Maumee Valley Country Day School, which is actually in my high school's or was in my high school's league when I was there. Graduate of Northwood High School in Northwest Ohio, and we played in the Suburban Lakes League, and got our brains beat in for a good 10-15 years until finally they moved into the Toledo Area Athletic Conference, the TAC, where they were able to be much more competitive and play teams of our size. And it was, as near as I could tell, a much better move or much better fit for the Rangers. My graduating class was 73, so not exactly a major school and probably not a school that you would be familiar with unless you happen to be from there. But so it's kind of neat for me to think that this is a kid that could play against like my high school. The closest I came to that when we were in the SLL, actually John Diebler's oldest brother, Jeremiah Diebler, was playing for Gibsonburg High School, where his dad, Keith Diebler, was the coach. And I did very briefly guard John Diebler's oldest brother as they were beating us by, I don't know, 40 points late in the fourth quarter of a game. I was technically on the court against him. I'm not sure you could say I guarded him, but that was part of my role. So there's my on-court brush with fame. Want to mention as well that we have one more game that's officially on the schedule for Ohio State next year. We know that they open at Cincinnati. We know that they will play Kentucky in the CBS Sports Classic or whatever it's called, the tournament or the game that they play. It's always like the Saturday before Christmas. Last year they played North Carolina. The year before that was UCLA. This year it'll be Kentucky. They'll play them in Chicago. I think it's December 23rd, maybe December 22nd, but whatever that Saturday is. But now we learned this week that Ohio State this year will take place in the Gavitt Games, which pits Big Ten schools against Big East schools. And obviously they weren't going to put Ohio State and Butler together. I don't think that was enjoyable for anybody last season, and I don't think there's any real sense that we need to, you know, really get that going again. But Ohio State is playing Creighton, which if you think back to, we're coming up on a year to when Thad Mata was fired. And Gene Smith flew to Omaha and had a very long meeting with Greg McDermott, their coach, and flew back without him. And he did not become, obviously, Ohio State's coach. And then that was Wednesday night going into Thursday morning. So they fire Thad on Monday. Chris Holtmann is officially hired on Friday morning. And he's announced the following, or they have a big press conference the following Monday. But on Wednesday night, as the search was dragging on, Gene Smith flew to Creighton and interviewed Greg McDermott. Now, I have been told that the job was never officially offered to Greg. It might just be coming down to a matter of semantics here, where I've had people point out, other national reporters who maybe know Greg better or you know, have a better sense of sort of the national scope, but I've had people tell me that if Greg McDermott wanted to be Ohio State's coach, Greg McDermott would be Ohio State's coach. So I think there's probably room for both of us to be right. Like, I don't know that he was officially offered the job, but I find it hard to believe that if he had said to Gene Smith, yes, I want the job, that he wouldn't be the coach. So I did get a chance, if you think back to this fall, I went to Madison Square Garden for Big East Media Day and did get a chance to talk to Greg McDermott about it a little bit. And he of course, didn't want to go into too many details. I did specifically ask him, did you actually hold a job offer from Ohio State? And he said, that doesn't matter. Gene Smith, he's declined to confirm any other candidates than Holtmann. Obviously, they did reach out to a number of other people. And we'll probably dive into some of that as we officially get up on the one-year anniversary of everything. But when I talked to some of his players about it, I mean, they said that like it was like someone pushed the panic button in Omaha. People were Kyrie Thomas, a junior guard last season, told me that like his phone started blowing up. People were tweeting him about it. And I like this quote. He said, it was a little panic button somewhere in Omaha, and he just pressed it, and everybody was just freaking out, especially the fans. So obviously, like I said, he doesn't take the job. But I asked him, I did ask him, and he talked about this. I said, why did you want to stay? Like, I mean, because he came out on Thursday and put out a statement about how Creighton was where he wanted to be. And I said, well, what is it about your situation that you like? I mean, you know, what is it about Creighton? And he said, you know, when you're in this profession, you're either having opportunity to move because you're not doing well enough and somebody's going to tell you to move, or if you're successful, other people might be interested in talking to you. I've been fortunate that we've had enough success over the course of my career that I've had several opportunities to talk to people, and a lot of them don't go anywhere. But when those happen, it makes you reflect on your current situation and your current life. I couldn't find anything wrong with my current job. I like pulling into my driveway at night. I like going to work in the morning, and I'm very happy with the people I work for and the people I work with. I think sometimes you're looking for something in life that maybe doesn't exist, and I'm extremely happy where I am, and that's why I'm still there. So that's what Greg McDermott told me when I spoke to him at Madison Square Garden back in October. So plenty of intrigue there. You know, you'll get the guy who did he or did he not turn down Ohio State. I think it's clear he did, even if the job wasn't officially offered to him, because I think, as I just said, if he wanted to be Ohio State's coach, it's hard to see that he would not be Ohio State's coach. Now, they did offer the job to Chris Holtmann before they offered it to Greg McDermott, and Chris Holtmann initially did turn them down. And then after the Greg McDermott interview situation, then they went back to Chris, and it really started to get some traction there in the later hours on Thursday. It became official on early Friday morning when Chris Holtmann and Gene Smith had their meeting at a hotel room in Dayton, of all places. It's also a fun little anecdote, and I would have gotten into this more had we been doing the podcast back then, but I don't know. I'm trying to remember if this actually made a story or not, but when Gene Smith was flying back from Creighton, the belief was that Greg McDermott was on the plane with him and he would be coming back. There'd be a press conference that morning. So I was at the airport waiting for that plane to land. And I'm sitting in a, you know, when you think about interesting moments in this career, I mean, I'm sitting in my car at, it's like 1:15 in the morning at the airport watching the flight land. And I have video somewhere of that plane landing, the plane taxiing to where the passengers could depart, and then the people getting off that plane, because I thought for sure, here it is. Like, here's the plane landing, and here's Greg McDermott walking off with Gene Smith. There's going to be a press conference in the morning. And then Greg wasn't on that plane. So I did talk to Gene very briefly in the car, in the parking lot as he walked to his car. He really didn't want to say a whole lot other, you know, he told me that the search was ongoing and he was working through a very long list. Was all that he said before he got in the car and drove away. And then it was basically 24 hours until they hired Chris Holtmann. But just a little bit of insight into what some of this job entails at times. That was an unbelievable week. I had my child, who is napping right now, was 3 weeks old, and I completely missed a week of his first month because they fired Thad Matta. So coming up on a year on that, we'll get more into that here in the next couple of podcasts, I'm sure. I did go this weekend as well. Chris and Lori Holtmann were the honorary chairs for the annual A Kid Again fundraiser called Time Out. This year it was held at the Greater Columbus Convention Center. It was a VIP event. It was very, very well done. Chris Holtmann got up and he spoke with Paul Keels, just kind of talking about the season and looking ahead to next year. And one other little scheduling nugget that he did drop, and I've heard this as well, you might see at least one game this year at St. John Arena. And I think anybody who cares about Ohio State basketball has to be excited about that. I mean, I know I am. It's something that Chris Holtmann has heard from the fans. It's something that he wants to make happen. And I think that when you look at the games that we don't know about yet, I mean, we're down to 7 or 8 non-conference games that we don't know who they're playing. And they're not going to be bringing in, you know, Kentucky or – well, I mean, they're playing Kentucky already, but they're not going to be bringing in major powerful teams to fill these other games. Like, these are going to be bye games. And if at the end of the day, do you really want to watch Ohio State play a, you know, random directional school at Value City Arena or St. John? I think there's something to be said for having some of those games at St. John, and I think that Chris Holtmann sees the value in that. And so I applaud him for that, because I think we all want to see that happen. He also mentioned that people continue to ask him about the potential for a yearly event with Ohio State, Dayton, Cincinnati, and Xavier. He said that still remains a couple of years away. So that's nothing that's imminent, but it is something that they are still working through. So it was nice. It was fun. I hadn't spoken to Lori Holtmann, and then did get to meet her, and she's incredibly nice. And they both talked about how they're hopeful here in these next couple of weeks, as they go into the summer, they might actually get to know Columbus a little bit, which we're 11 months in, and they still have not really had a chance to like go out and find a place to go get a steak or go figure out their favorite pizza place or things like that, because it's just been so much of a whirlwind for them. So I'm sure that they'll enjoy these next couple of weeks here as things kind of cool down a little bit and they get a chance to relax. I know there was a beach vacation that the Holtmans were due to take last summer that Chris talked about, that he wasn't able to make that trip because then he was working full time all the time trying to get the program ready and trying to build a roster. So I'm not sure if they'll make it to the beach this summer or not, but you know, good luck. I will be at the beach where we're taking a family trip later in June. So I'm excited, or in July. So I'm excited about that. One other thing to mention, Kata Bates-Diop is taking place in the NBA Combine this week. So, you know, keep an eye out for news on that as we progress into the weekend. You'll probably hear bits and pieces here. And then from the Combine, I wouldn't be surprised. You'll see him going to do some workouts with some teams. I know we talked about it on here. He did have a workout with the Lakers. So he will have some things on his calendar here going forward. He's been working out in LA, and now he'll have his chance to start showing off what he can do at the Combine this week. So curious to see how that turns out. It's a day late, and I don't know how often she listens, but yesterday was my mom's birthday, so I want to say happy birthday to Mom. Didn't fall on Mother's Day this year. Sometimes it does, and then she gets like the double day. But happy birthday, Mom. I hope you had a great birthday yesterday. I want to say thanks again to our sponsor, Columbus Springs Hospitals. With two hospitals and an outpatient services clinic, Columbus Springs Hospitals is helping to change people's lives every day. With skilled counselors and compassionate caregivers, they provide effective patient treatment in addiction and mental health for adults, adolescents, and children. Visit columbusprings.com today and find out more about each of their locations. There's hope, there's help at Columbus Springs Hospitals. Last week was also the release of the new Arctic Monkeys album, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. It's very interesting. There's not much in the way of a big hit. There's not a lot of guitar on it. It's a very interesting, different type of vibe, very avant-garde. As my brother pointed out, it's like the kind of album you feel like you might put on at like a really fancy party. It's kind of growing on me. There's a few really good tracks. I wish it had a little more tempo to it, but that's my short review of the new Arctic Monkeys album. This week, I believe Courtney Barnett comes out on Friday, so I'm excited about that. I still have not picked up Matt and Kim, which came out 2 weeks ago. I've had a hard time finding it, but that is very much on my list. And then as we get later in the month, we got new Weezer, new Churches, and this is a fantastic month for new music, so I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. With that, we'll send it out of here. As always, you can send along your questions, your comments, your love notes, your hate mail, and otherwise constructive criticism at Adam Jardy on Twitter or ajardy@dispatch.com. Thanks to Patrick, the Podfather, back at the office for taking whatever raw file I'm sending him here and somehow turning it into the magic that will be the podcast that you are listening to right now. Thanks for pushing the gears and making me sound better. Until next time, thanks everyone.
And subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.